ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य धनञ्चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Text number 9, translation. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Responsibly, please repeat. All occupational engagements, are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to the sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We have already discussed that pure devotional service to the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service, even in the Vedic literatures. For all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered, and most people are attracted by such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires which in turn satisfy sense gratification. The cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity, followed by material gain, and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Sense gratification is the general way for all sorts of fully occupied men. But in the statement of Sutta Goswami. As per the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only. Nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya narto ritaya pakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamalabhaya hi smritaha. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. This is further clarification of the preceding verses in this chapter, especially starting from Dharmasihya Pavargyasya Nato, pardon me, what is that? Savai Pungsan Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hoksati Ahoyitu Kiya Pratyata Yatma Supersedati. The ultimate occupational activity, or the highest form of religion, is to engage in devotional service to the Lord, as we discussed yesterday evening. Yatma Supersedati. It will satisfy the self. And then Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janyat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahoitukam. We are in darkness, and one of the causes of great trepidation, fear, suffering is a paucity of knowledge. People are suffering due to ignorance, as Prabhupada would often say. But Sutta Goswami is asking Maharaj Parikshit and all of us to just have a little faith and engage our senses in the service of Krishna. And he promises that the natural outcome will be detachment from the material world and knowledge. Knowledge from within, not only jnana, coming in contact with the Bhagavad Gita is certainly one of the benefits of previous pious activities. But unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita, understands the Bhagavad Gita, and practices the guidelines given in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not perfect. And then finally here, Dharma Spanustita Pungsam Vishvaksena Katasugya Nodpadi Yad Yadi Ritim Srama Eva Hi Kevalam. Any other kind of activity which is not, or any other energy which is not directed towards attainment of our natural relationship with Krishna, it's simply a waste of energy, waste of time. We're simply spinning our wheel in the winter we see in the snow, in the sleet, even in the rain, sometimes in the ice, people may get stuck, and when they try to get out of their condition, they spin their wheels. They actually don't move. They press on the accelerator, the wheels turn, but the car does not move. Wheels simply spin. And not only are they probably ruining their clutch and burning down their tires, but they're wasting their time, wasting petrol, not going anywhere. So here it is explained why all occupational work, and work is divided into different categories, but ultimately all work is under the major heading of occupational engagement, should be performed for ultimate liberation. And ultimate liberation means that this life is temporary. So you may be successful in so many ways, but whatever you have, and here in the city of London, everyone is struggling hard, and many people are college graduates or have various qualifications, and everyone is working very hard. There's a great competition. But some people get more money. They get a good break. They take advantage of it, and they get more money. They get better cars. They get more material facility. So we think that such people are making progress in life. The yardstick, the measuring, the barometer, the way of seeing who is advancing in life is generally who can have the most toys. It's a famous t-shirt in America. He who has the most toys at the time of death wins. So he who has the biggest bank account, the most attractive wife, the most power, people think that is it. But very quickly their life is cut short. Even if they do attain, and there are very few people who can attain, but even if they do attain success materially, they get ahead of the pack, of wolves, the pack of donkeys, the foolish rascals. Even if they do become the leader of the donkeys, it's all temporary. Therefore, whatever they're doing, because it's finished at the time of death, it is srama, useless. Waste of time. And hardly people have any perception of the trap, the illusion in which they're caught. More jala. Like a fish caught in a net, the more they struggle, the more they become enmeshed or entangled. They're working so hard to create a civilization, a mechanized civilization. And Prabhupada was, of course, he was from Calcutta, but ground surrounding Calcutta, there are so many villages, and Prabhupada did live in the village. At the time Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, it was very much a village, not like what you see today. When we first went to Vrindavan, even at that time, it was just a small little place, Vrindavan. It was on the map because it was Krishna's birthplace, but apart from that, there was one street, Loi Bazaar, that was the main street. And everything else was just a lane, a small lane leading to practically nowhere. So Prabhupada used to quote examples from simple village life. He would say, formerly, any man could get anything he needed very closely in the village. Everything was right available. You need a doctor, there's a doctor there in the village. Not a big thing, there's a local vaidya, whatever. Every man had some practical basic knowledge of Ayurveda anyway. But if things were more serious, there was a practitioner there close by. He said, now people have created big motor car, and just to find a doctor, they have to go 30 miles, 50 miles, just to find a hospital. So they've simply complicated the whole business. Said that it is no different than the animals. The animals are, I was hearing, specifically he was comparing us with the pigs, Vidbujam, talking about Mars, Rishabdev. His famous verse, Nayana Deho Deha Bhajan, Nirloke, Kaspam Kaman, Arhate Vidbujamya, Kaspam Kaman. They're creating so many things, but what is the difference between them and pigs? Pigs are running around night and day on four legs, simply trying to get stool, and working very hard for that. And human beings are also doing the same thing, running around on two legs day and night. The business is practically the same, maybe slightly more effective at obtaining stool, but what's the benefit? Simply fools and rascals. Therefore, Rishabdev advised his sons, don't waste your time, but use your energy, your life's energy, in the next verse, nicely explained, jivasya tatta jigyasa kamalavaya hishmata. Jivasya tatta jigyasa nato yascheha karmavi. Human life is meant for self-realization. It's not meant for animal life. So ultimate liberation means to get free from the cycle of birth and death altogether, not to make a patchwork solution. There are so many problems, but the real solution is to get out of this material world. Now that sounds very radical, but it's a fact. Now, of course, topically we see that there's a big problem, and it's becoming deeper and deeper. The threat of impending war between America and Iraq, and America has a few allies, probably not the UK except for Tony Blair, I don't know. It seems like many people in the UK are very much against the war. And things are becoming more and more surcharged. And now, Mr. Bush has taken it so far that he can hardly back out. He spent so much money to send hundreds of thousands of troops to Iraq at huge expense. Now, that same money, if it had been used to create a good medical plan in the USA, then, you know, the 40% of the people, population in the UK who can't afford medical treatment or a medical plan, maybe they would have some hope. Then you understand why people are very frustrated and very upset. Because such ludicrous games are going on. So, that is not the solution. There is no solution to the problems with Palestine and Israel, with Russia and Chechnya, with Milosevic and Yugoslavia, with the Tutsis and the Hutus, with all over the world you go, with the Muslims, the Pakistanis and the Indians, everywhere there are more and more and more problems, and there is no solution. They're not getting closer, just making more doctors and more engineers and more politicians. That is not going to solve anything. The only solution is to somehow or other get out of the material world even while living. It is possible to be like the lotus flower that's in the water but not touched by the water, to be in the world but not of the world, to be tolerant, or to be able to tolerate, comes to tikshastra, the constant flux, change in this material world. It is possible, individually and collectively, to rise above the miseries of material existence, and one who knows the path, one who is on the path, someone who is experiencing ultimate liberation, albeit gradually, he can lead others. That is his duty, to share the vision, to help, to give guidance. So, this Pravritincha Navritincha Janana Vidurasura, the non-devotees, we call them asuras or demons, and for sure they are, we were demons, but they are very unpredictable. They can do anything under the influence of lust. Even so-called religious people, we are simply trying to sing the holy names of God and distribute transcendental literature. But how much trouble a particular church in Russia is giving us? How much trouble a particular church in Greece is giving us? What to speak of preaching in Muslim countries, forget that. So who are these people who claim to be religious people? What are they protecting? Why are they so defensive? Why are they so worried? Because their bread and butter is being challenged. because they're basically not interested in spreading love and harmony and understanding. They're not interested in promoting the will of God. They're simply interested in maintaining their upadhi. And therefore they also are rascals and demons in the garb of religious men. Make no mistake about it. Some people take up the occupation of truck drivers to earn their living. Some people take up the occupation of movie actors. And some people, for their occupation, find it appropriate, comfortable, or whatever, to be a so-called religious person and get charity from the people to give some sermons. We also know how one can become adept at giving sermons. But if there is no intent, if there is no pure aspiration to take shelter of Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to offer everything to Krishna, even in the worst of times or the best of times. Mantra sparshas kukonde asitoshna sukha dukata. For sure, winter and summer will come. And for sure, pain and pleasure will come. Good times and bad times will be there for everyone, including Vaishnavas, devotees. The difference is that devotees have no motive, nothing to gain, because they're following the regulative principles. They're not out to exploit. In the material world, one living being is simply exploiting another. It's the law of the jungle, where might makes right. Animals are only interested in sense gratification, and we're living in a jungle. It's a jungle out there. It's a rat race, a cat and dog race. We have to see it for what it is, and somehow or other come to our good senses, come to sanity, and use whatever we have in Krishna service. That will give us satisfaction. Everything that we do should be for the purpose of promoting in our own lives and for the benefit of others Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is a general term, and there are many things to be understood, many realizations to be had. Preaching is a great science, how to inject, how to cure, how to give medicine to that hog. We described the other day, yesterday, very difficult to feed medicine to a pig. Very slippery animal. One man to hold the back legs, one man to hold the front legs, one man to open the mouth, one man to put the medicine. So that is our legacy, that is our debt to our spiritual master, to our acharyas. They preached, and therefore we are receiving the mercy. And we also have to preach. And Prabodhananda Sarasvati, he gave the formula how to preach. We have to be humble. With blade of grass in our teeth. Very humble. And flatter people. But to flatter people. They just asked Prabhupada, how do we preach to the politicians? Prabhupada left, you have to flatter them like anything. And then after flattering them nicely, then you call them rascals. Tell them to give up their nonsense and surrender to Krishna. So that is, we have to learn that art. And we also have to learn how to navigate through the river of mind-driven smart bombs. Our mind will try to trip us up. We have to learn how not to be affected, how to be focused in our service, both in our practical service and in our internal development. We have to be very, just like imagine a battlefield. It's something that someone who has no experience of, it's hard to imagine. You might learn something at training camp. In America they call it boot camp. Where you go to be trained as a soldier and they try to simulate the conditions which you might meet in a battlefield. Whether it be in hilly terrain or on the desert or wherever, they try to prepare you. But they can never prepare you for a real battlefield where so many unforeseen circumstances will take place. So you're alone and your life is uncertain. Death is all around you. How are you going to survive? You have to be very quick-witted. Be very alert. You have to be on guard from any side. Any enemy soldier could come at you with a grenade, with a sniper may shoot you, a tank may come, anything could happen. You just have to be very alert. So in spiritual life, we have to be very alert if we want to survive. And we should want to survive because you can be successful. Each and every one of us can become fully Krishna conscious in this lifetime by chanting 16 rounds and following the principles. It's that simple and that difficult at the same time. Not easy. Unless if you're very determined and very sincere and keep yourself focused, then for sure you can cross over the ocean of doubt, suffering, misery. You can be successful. So sense gratification. Here the indication is that said, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only. So the indication here is that we do have some need for material gain, and we do have some need for sense gratification. Prabhupada talks here about dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. People perform religious activities so that they can attain material facility by artha, economic development. And economic development is meant for sense gratification, kama, enjoyment. And ultimate sense gratification is I am God. It's interesting. When one is frustrated in trying to enjoy, then all his attempts at enjoyment have been defeated. If he were still a rich man, then he wouldn't bother for mukti. But when he's completely defeated, then he gets the idea that I'm God. Well, if you're God, how come your business failed, and how come this and that? Anyway, mukti, moksha, comes after kama. Maybe successful men also think they're God. It's a problem today. Too many people wandering around thinking they're God. So this, all of this, material gain shouldn't be used to cultivate sense gratification. Some sense gratification is there, but for the most part, the ultimate liberation, the ultimate happiness, satisfaction is in surrender to Krishna. So, it's now time to stop. I've run out of things to say anyway. So. Are there any questions? Or maybe, is there a question? Okay. Yes?
Can I say really? We should end with let the Sangha Buddhist get out.
To what?
Let the Sangha Buddhist get out from there.
Okay. I will let the Sankirtan devotee, I know they're, you know, just itching to jump up and get out there on the road, so I'm holding them back, so I will now let you go. And while you're out there doing the ultimate occupational service, don't think about collecting money for your sense gratification. Mom Judy will take care of that. Okay, Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai. Jai. Jai.